It is impossible for God to lie. Every promise He has made is certain to be fulfilled. What is the response of the typical person when faced with a problem which seems impossible for him to solve? Does he rise with enthusiasm to the challenge? Does he turn immediately to prayer in God? Does he get frustrated and give up hope? Does he look for someone to blame so he is no longer responsible for dealing with the issue? I guess a more personal question is, how do you respond when faced with situations you feel are impossible for you to handle? The Bible gives us a dramatic illustration of such a situation and teaches us how to respond. When Moses led Israel out of Egypt on the way to her promised land, he followed the exact directions the Lord had given. The Lord had said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and camp near Pi-hahiroth between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon." Now that was where Moses led them. That was where they camped. And that was where such potential tragedy overtook them that they faced a problem that it was impossible for them to solve. Now how they responded to that problem instructs us on how we should respond to our impossible situations today. First, there might be complaint against the leaders. Now that's what ancient Israel did. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Now there are some evident errors in their complaint. One, it was God, not Moses, who had brought them out of Egypt to that place. If there was to be complaint, let it be lodged against God. Second, they were not brought into the desert to die. They were to pass through the desert and inherit their promised land, which was flowing with milk and honey. Third, they had not yet died. They were only facing a very terrifying situation, but the battle was not yet engaged and the outcome was still unknown. They were giving up hope before they saw the issue to an end. Fourth, they had not objected to the Exodus, but hearing that God had spoken to Moses, they were anxious to leave Egypt. But they did not want to assume responsibility for their condition, and they refused to acknowledge their agreement. And fifth, they did not look to God. They looked at their resources, and they looked at the Egyptian army, but they did not take God's resources into consideration. So guard yourself in times of trial. It is much easier to blame another person than to face the challenge personally. But you're still responsible for dealing with the problem, whether you blame another person or not. Face the challenge with confidence that God will see you through. Second, remember God's former work on your behalf. Now the Hebrews did not. They did not remember the 10 dread plagues which God brought upon Egypt before Pharaoh agreed to let them go. They did not consider that after the first 3 plagues, the land where they dwelt was separated from the rest of Egypt and did not suffer under the last 7 judgments. They did not remember that God had prepared Moses first as a prince in the palace of Pharaoh and then as a nomad living in the desert for the express purpose of leading them. They did not consider that God had promised both to bring them out of Egypt and to bring them into Palestine. He had brought them out, and He would not fail to bring them in. Now, major problems are always a challenge to our faith, but they should drive us to trust and not to doubt. Do you remember the 3rd verse of John Newton's precious hymn entitled Amazing Grace? It reads, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." Now call that to mind when faced with problems. God's grace is for the present and the future, as well as the past. Someone has said, "All I have seen teaches me to trust God for all I have not seen." You see, God's faithfulness in times past should inspire you to trust Him in today and in all the tomorrows. He has already proven Himself faithful in so many ways. Now, will He prove unfaithful because you face a different or more difficult problem than before? Has his nature changed? Are his promises no longer valid? Has he ceased to love us? Will he who has been faithful through all the generations now be found unfaithful to us? Respond to those questions with a resounding no. He who has promised is faithful. His very name is faithful and true. It is impossible for God to lie. Every promise he has made is certain to be fulfilled. The Bible reports concerning Abraham, he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had the power to do what he had promised. Now you can stake your very life and welfare upon his faithfulness to you, even in your deepest trial. He who promised so long ago is faithful today. Now back in Egypt, Moses and Aaron had told the Hebrews all that God had done and showed the miracles that God had empowered Moses to perform. The Bible reports they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. Now what happened to their faith when they faced a problem beyond their ability to solve? Well, their faith dissolved in the face of difficulties. That must not happen to you. Trust God no matter what happens. Third, it is possible to lose all hope in the face of trials. The Hebrews believed they were to die under the weapons of the army of Egypt. They did not consider any other recourse possible. How tragic. God had promised them, "I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand to give Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." Now, three times God assured them, "I am the Lord." Seven times he said, "I will bring, I will free, I will take, I will be, I will give." How many times must he confirm his person and describe his work on our behalf for us to trust him? Does the presence of difficulties change any of that? His promise remained the same as when all was well. God does not change with circumstances. He declares, "I am the Lord, I do not change." It is safe to trust him. Father, faithful God who keeps your promises to 1,000 generations, we confess our sin of doubt. Forgive us. We would believe with all our power, so give us grace to trust you more. And when we face what seems to be impossible situations in life, help us remember that with God all things are possible. For Jesus' sake, amen.